T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I always get excited right when football season is starting. American Alliance of Football, or Alliance of American Football. It's like 24 hours away.
Jacked up.
I told Crowder and Falero, this show and our ratings were live and die based on South Florida's interest in the AAF, because we've already talked way too much about it. But I'm all in, Jack.
Do that, man. I got kids to feed.
I got a wedding to pay for, man.
Yeah, man. Trent Richardson? We're putting our show in Trent Richardson's hands?
I mean, he's due. He had a good season with Indy, didn't he?
No,
Cleveland?
No.
Good season, didn't he? In Indy or Cleveland?
Alabama. You said Alabama wrong. It's ridiculous.
Congratulations to the Miami Hurricanes women's basketball team last night. They beat number 4 Notre Dame at the Watsco Center. Fans rushed the court.
That's cool.
It was a great victory for Canes women's basketball. They were ranked 25, and Coach Katie Meyer, who's a friend of ours, when she was on with us on Wednesday, I was like, you know, you guys have played a reigning NCAA champion 8 times in Miami Hurricanes history and have lost all 8 of those attempts. And I said, I hope I'm not getting into your head or whatever. And she's like, no, we'll use that as motivation. We'll turn that. And they did last night. They beat the reigning champion. And Coach Katie Meyer, they're in practice right now. When she gets out of practice sometime around 4:30 or whatever, she's going to call in and we'll give her some mad props on behalf of South Florida.
Biggest loss in Notre Dame women's basketball history is what I read.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. That was a huge victory. And, you know, with the way that the men's basketball team beat Notre Dame as well, but the women's basketball team will go to the tournament.
They were fourth in the nation.
Notre Dame? Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That was a legit win last night, so good for them. We had a great time at the Panthers game. We were at the Florida Panthers game last night. We may have even had a little money on the Panthers. Panthers may have won with about 40 seconds left in OT. It was fun. We had a good time. So Thank you, Florida Panthers, and everyone that said hello while we were out there, and good time had by all.
Hockey fans get a little nasty.
Hockey fans are ready to roll, man.
I'm headed out, and that's how some dudes about to fight.
Really?
Take it easy, guys.
I like it. And then you got the AAF starting tomorrow. Is it the American Alliance or the Alliance of American Football?
The Alliance of American Football.
The Alliance of American Football. Man, I feel like that's just they're asking for trouble with that name.
Really?
Right? XFL is so easy. NFL, USFL. American, is it American Alliance or Alliance? I get
Alliance
it wrong every time.
Of American Football.
Alliance of American Football.
I don't know,
man.
Throw a league on there.
Yeah, get a league and get out the Alliance.
What's that?
Alliance. Just whatever. Some sort of league. Upstart Football League. UFL. There you go. Boom. Solved.
I think it's too late.
I think it's taken already.
Well, we have a lot of stuff to cover today. Like I said, Katie Meyer will stop by for just a moment so that we can congratulate her. Omar Kelly, we'll talk some Dolphins with him. Lee Sterling, professional sports gambler, he's going to join us. He's actually breaking down the AAF games. So we can get a little jump on the sports books here and maybe have some edge.
From what I've learned through talking to all these gamblers that we bring on, you might be able to really get an edge with the AAF.
This is the rare occurrence, because I forget if it was Pizzola or someone else we used to have on. They used to say week one of the NFL season was your best chance to have a little bit of an edge over sports books because you're following your team all off season. You're following every move they make. And maybe the odds makers that are based in Vegas aren't. While they still know, you may have a little bit more of an edge in week one. Well, this is week one in its history.
Yeah.
So maybe we have a little bit of an edge. So hopefully Lee Sterling can get us on the right track.
Go watch some film on Christian Hackenberg.
Who are the starting quarterbacks? Do we have any idea? I know Hackenberg
Christian Hackenberg.
Memphis.
Orlando, I believe it might be Stephen Morris.
The starting quarterback?
I don't know if he's starting, but I know he's a quarterback on the roster.
For people that are interested, Darren Revelle, before he left ESPN, reported that the Alliance of American Football, the salaries are $250,000 each, non-guaranteed, for 3 years. So it's a little over $80,000 a year for the American Alliance of American Football League players.
San Diego Fleet is Mike Bercovici.
Is the starting quarterback?
Yep. The Commanders of San Antonio is Dustin Vaughn. The Stallions of Salt Lake is B.J. Daniels.
I believe Aaron Murray is for the Atlanta Legends.
Orlando Apollo is Garrett Gilbert.
Who are those guys?
Never heard of any of them.
Christian Hackenberg I've heard of.
That's about it. Yeah, that's about it. We don't know any guys.
Salaries will be in line with the AAF competitor, the XFL, which begins next season. Their salaries are going to be $75,000 per season for their players. And then what it says, Laro, is that the AAF, they're allocating players based on where they went to college or where they played in the NFL or whatnot. So they're trying to do it geographically, which is why Steve Spurrier is coaching in Orlando. Now, why Christian Hackenberg would be in Memphis, there's no teams in the Northeast. That's as close as I think you can get. Trent Richardson, I think, is in Birmingham, right? I think he plays for the Birmingham Iron?
Yes.
Yeah, so that it makes sense.
Trent in Birmingham and Steve Spurrier in Orlando. Makes a lot of sense. Like, people to go see Steve, the head ball coach. You know what? The Orlando first game, I guarantee there's people with Gator stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Just coming to
support
the ball
coach. This is
going to
be like an extension of UF. They play at UCF. They play at UCF Stadium, the Orlando Apollos.
10,000 max.
There's over-unders on attendance. What was Whittingham just showing us? The over-under on the Orlando game?
The Orlando game is about 26,000.
26. Now, that place holds, I think, 45,000. 26,000.
No way.
For the opening weekend of the AAF, Orlando specifically, 26,000 is the over-under.
Yeah, and for San Antonio, it's 28,000.
Yeah, and here's what I would say to you, because you keep saying under, under, under. I think that we're probably not aware of just how hard these games are being marketed in the cities that they're playing. This has a major television contract. You can't be showing the first week of Alliance of American Football on CBS and have 11,000 people in the stands. You can't. You'll be dead on arrival. So I guess, even at a huge loss, that place in Orlando has to be around 30,000. Has to be.
No, but you have season ticket holders for other teams. Like, the Dolphins have been struggling lately. But there's the people that their father gave them their season tickets, and they're going to every Dolphin game. They have no legacy tickets sold, and then they have no drawing names.
But is there something to being at the first game ever in a new league? Is there something that...
Not to me.
No? Valero, to you?
Yeah, to be like a part of history. I
right,
guess.
Like
you
to be
you
the
like, you
yeah.
Never know. Yeah.
Be the first one.
It's going to be history. You're going to the first game and the last first game of any season.
You don't know that.
Oh, come on, man.
If you're going there with like a positive attitude, oh, this is going to be the new NFL.
Go to Cooper City Optimist. You can watch football every Saturday.
I think you might be underestimating, only because this, and I'm not even saying this league is going to be a success, and I don't know if, like, you said it yesterday. Like, is ESPN, when they're recapping Saturday night, what happened on Saturday, are they going to talk about AAF games?
If they do, that's the way they can pull me in. If I start seeing competitive football, if I start seeing good players playing other good players, that's football. I'll go watch. But at this point, the names that we just said, no way. Bernie Vigavigavici. Who wants to watch him?
There is an over-under on how many years the AAF will be in existence. You want to guess what the over-under is set at?
1.5.
Half.
4.5 years. They have money behind it. They're not going to fold after one season.
We could probably do research on that.
Well, here's the whole synopsis of the over-under on that. Professional football leagues besides the NFL tend to flame out pretty quickly. The XFL lasted just one season before going up in flames. The World League lasted two seasons, and the USFL managed to make it just three seasons before going broke. However, the AAF has something those other leagues didn't, the NFL's blessing. The AAF has set itself up to be a partner league for both the NFL and CFL. The teams will work in conjunction with teams in the other two leagues, and the AAF will be set up as a pseudo-minor league. See, I didn't know this. For years, the NFL pumped money into NFL Europe, even though it was losing money hand over fist. And while the NFL doesn't own the AAF, it has a vested interest in the league succeeding. The AAF faces two big challenges, though. First, I can't say AAF all the time. It sounds weird. Secondly, no, first, their teams need to find a support base. It looks like Birmingham and Salt Lake City have both embraced their teams, but we're a little more skeptical when it comes to the other franchises. The Atlanta Legends may not even have 10,000 fans per game, and they don't know how viable San Diego or Arizona will be either. See, I didn't know that like the NFL and the CFL were giving it its blessing. Now it gets into G League territory.
I was going to say, because is it a feeder league or is it a trash pile where the guys we don't want? Because the names we've said, Trent Richardson, Hacklenberg, they're the guys the NFL.
They've already flamed out.
That don't want. So are you selling me on the trash pile league? I don't want to watch that team.
The funny thing is I think I'd rather watch the trash pile than those that have not gotten good enough yet to be. I don't want to see an up-and-comer. I want to see a guy that spectacularly flamed out in the NFL.
What about, like, guys that got kicked out of college? What about DeAndre Francois? Where he's, you know, with the video I heard.
Right.
I don't think he's getting on another college team.
Yeah, that would be a really bad look for any university.
That guy, that would pull me. Those guys that messed, let's say, they messed up their life to the point where they can't go the normal path to the NFL. If they go, you know what? If they go that route, you might got me.
Be interesting to see. Text in. I'm curious. Text in. Are you interested in this at all? Or are you watching it the way we are? Because I don't know how interested we are in the football. I think we're more interested in the story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I am interested in gambling. I'm not lying. Like the notion of being able to gamble on football, you know, I don't even know how long the season is. 8 games? I have no idea.
Got to be 7 or 8 games because there's only 8 teams. Unless they play each other twice.
Twice. Could be a 16-game schedule. I don't know. That'd be probably pretty easy to find out.
Now that you have me thinking of really look at this guy. Now that
I mean, we can sit here and guess it, or we can
10 weeks.
10 weeks?
Yeah.
There has to be have and have nots. There has to be a team that beats the hell out of everybody. There has to be a Patriot of the. This is tough.
AXA.
AAFL.
Right.
There has to be.
There's no L.
There's no L.
AAF.
Keep saying L.
Yeah. I want to throw an L on it. I enjoy L's.
you took enough of them.
But if you get a team that's bought, like if Steve Spurrier really has the Orlando team with Orlando Apollo.
Yeah.
Beating people by 50. Beating people by 50, you might got something because it's exciting. It's the opposite of the Super Bowl.
Well, text in. Are you interested in this at all? 560-22 Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. I promise we're going to talk about other stuff today as well.
What if they put football back into football and don't call all them damn helmet to helmets and all that stuff?
So we get to see jacked up.
Yes.
XFL has a chance to do that. I don't think the AAF does, especially if the NFL's endorsing it and the CFL's endorsing it, and it's a little bit of a feeder league. You might see that in the XFL, but you're not going to see that in this league.
That'll get me to watch.
And we have other stuff to get to today. I promise Lee Sterling, professional gambler, will break down all the AAF games. But there is some Heat news, some NBA trade deadline news, so we have a lot of stuff to get to. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. Radio.com.
Yeah, you know what? I like the players. No diggity, no doubt. Play on, play that. Play on, play that.
All day.
Yo, Trey, drop the verse.
It's going down. Unscheduled guest alert. Unscheduled guest alert. I am so excited about this because I'm like, text in, do you have any interest in the AAF? And we've enjoyed talking about it. And Chris Chambers texted you and said what? That he's training some of the guys in the AAF?
Yeah, Chris Chambers, since his retirement, he trains guys. He's had a whole system, a bunch of pre-draft stuff, and he's training some guys in the AAF and said it's legit. So he said he can call in now.
All right,
I see him
on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Chris Chambers, just a favorite of Dolphins fans. Did he overlap with Aronde at all?
No. Anybody? I don't think so. I think he got there the year before.
I don't know. Did you play on the Dolphins when Aronde was there, Chris?
I did. Actually, when I came in, OJ was just coming out because he had the foot injury, so he didn't play that year. Aronde was probably just coming off one of his better years there. So I kind of came at the right time with Aronde and James McKnight and Dejic Ward when they were kind of revamping the receiving corps. Hmm.
Did you know that when he won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys, he took his Super Bowl winnings and bought a monkey?
I have no idea about that, but I am not surprised, though, because he did a lot of crazy things. You know, he did a lot of stuff that people may not know about, even going into training camp. He used to come in with a different way every single time. Before all these dudes start coming in with helicopters and all that stuff, Aronde was coming in with all type of funny stuff himself. So
Aronde, you know, Aronde on the Cowboys, who was an undrafted free agent, because he was telling us the story the last couple of weeks on the air. I've known Aronde a long time. He's never told me this. I was shocked that I didn't know this. But he said that Troy Aikman was angry because he would bring the monkey to the facility and it would get in all the stuff in the locker room and whatnot. But for a young, undrafted free agent, Aronde had some swag, huh?
Yeah, he did, man. He's off weights. Remember, he had a clothing line at one point.
Yeah,
he had an arena football league. So he's always been very business minded when it came to football and doing stuff off the field.
That's funny, man. He bought a monkey with his Super Bowl winnings.
Was he crazy?
Was he nuts?
I wouldn't have did it. And I know he wouldn't have did it either if he looked back at it, because I know he probably wants that 150 right about now.
Nope, we asked him this week, do you regret that purchase? He says no.
Wow.
But it was because it attracted the attention of all the women. That's what he said.
He was able to get a lot of ladies back to come visit his monkey, if you understand.
I hope he still has the monkey. Does he still have the monkey?
No, he had to go play in NFL Europe, and he couldn't travel with it. No one wanted to watch it. He had to donate it to a zoo.
I already donated. Okay, that was nice. I hope we got a tax write-off for that.
That was business minded.
Yeah, man. Chris Chambers is with us. So tell us about this Alliance of American Football. Do you think this league has a chance of succeeding?
I do. I think it was something that was needed. Instead of sending guys like to Europe and sending guys to the CFL, which is very hard, because once you get to the CFL, it's almost 2 years. Before you can kind of come in back into the NFL. So you're kind of locked up a little bit. At least at this point, you're able to kind of play in the off-season time where a lot of coaches and scouts can view you. And a lot of these guys need film because, remember, they didn't make it to the NFL. They didn't play another year of college. So it's 1 year, 2 year. All these years start to go past. If you don't have no film, you might as well forget about trying to be a pro. So this gives the guys another opportunity to make some money, to get some film, to get developed. With some greats. I mean, there's some great guys that's going to be a part of this league. I mean, my former coach, Brad Childress, you have Michael Vick, you have all type of guys in there. You guys talk about Spurrier. So you got guys with NFL ability and NFL caliber type of situations that can help these guys out a lot.
And Chris, like, what? Because they just had the combine. Like, what's the process of the AAF? They have a combine. How do they pick teams? Like, we don't know anything about it.
Yeah, you know what? So they had the combine. Can you guys hear me now? I just stepped outside. It might be a little windy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, it's all right now.
Okay, good. All right, yeah. So they had it back in August. So August and September, they had about 4 combines. They had regional combines. So it kind of took a lot of guys by surprise. You know, they took a certain amount of guys, and then they ended up having to, not let a lot of guys. There was thousands of guys that wanted to try out afterwards, but they closed the tryouts, and they went with those guys. And then they had a few mini camps, so they cut down from there. And then recently they just made it all the way to their 53-man roster last week. And so now they're ready to roll.
And you're going to be watching the games this weekend? Like, are you legitimately interested?
Absolutely. I mean, I have guys who's I've trained that, you know, this is kind of a last opportunity for them. I think it's going to be some really good football because you do got some good coaches, some good personnel and stuff like that. And it gives people a chance in some markets who don't have, like, professional teams to get behind something and kind of go from there. And I do see it expanding in the future.
And, Chris, guys, like you said a little bit earlier, guys are going to have an opportunity to play in the NFL. And if they were to get cut halfway through the season, go play in the AAF and then try to get some film up, and they could play the next season in the NFL. A guy could play year-round if he wanted to.
He could potentially play a year-round because they do have all these little combines, and you only can get so much from a combine or somewhere from a spring league. So the best thing is for them to be able to actually get in a more of a professional surrounding, more structure, more of a system, and then just kind of go from there. And if you guys are going to get a chance to pick up, remember the season's over like by April. So that's the time where guys kind of go back into the mini camps and the rookies kind of come in. So if a guy having a hell of a season in the AAF, he might have an opportunity to jump right into one of those mini camps in May.
Chris Chambers is with us. We had no idea he's training some of the Alliance of Alliance of American Football? The Alliance of American – I don't like the name of the league, Chris.
Yeah. I don't know where that thing came from. You know, so,
it wasn't even a question. It was
no
just
answer.
Yeah, it was just a statement.
Good, you know?
I know you had nothing to do with it. I don't like the name of the league. I find it very difficult. Also, I need to share with him because you said Mike Vick and the coaching staff. He was kind of let go yesterday by Atlanta. It didn't work out with Mike Vick.
I did not know that.
He's going to be a consultant.
That was shocking news to me.
because he was going to be, I think, the offensive coordinator, but he's now just going to be a consultant.
The head coach changed, and then the new guy
that's
that came
Brad Childress,
in.
I think, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, Brad was the coach, and it's funny because I was asking Brad, do he need me to come up there and help him out a little bit?
Well, now so, he does. Mike Vick gone.
Yeah. It might have been a little bit too much for Mike, though, to be able to do something like that, you know?
Yeah, with all the scheduling. Chris, and I worked out with Chris. I was playing like Chris. Chris has a system going. Chris, be honest, man, because you play in the league, pro bowler, and you trained a lot of guys in the league. What's the level? Like, is there a drop-off to the guys that are training for the AAF and the guys that you train for the NFL?
You basically got all the practice squad guys. That's the type of level that they're going to be on because, you know, the NFL practice squad is only 10. So these are a lot of guys who will be potentially on the NFL practice squad that's going to develop. But, you know, there's definitely going to be a drop-off. But there should be some diamonds in the rough, and that's what I'm looking for.
Chris Chambers. All right. So, you know, because I've been saying, is anyone here in South Florida? Like, because you got to have interest nationwide. It can't just be in the cities that they're in. But you're interested. Obviously, you have a vested interest because you're training some of the guys. But I wonder if it translates. I mean, this is a football-loving country. And if you can make a viable league, there's, you know, plenty of offseason. There's money to be made if it works. What's the biggest concern for you, Crowder? It's the level of play?
Yes.
Do you think fans are as concerned about the level of play, Chris, that you or Crowder would be?
No, I don't think they're concerned. I think the play would be good. I think it'd be more basic kind of developmental play. But for the most part, I'm not too concerned about it.
All right. Well, Chris Chambers, keep doing your thing, man. I'm glad that we've got an insider now. With the people are suggesting on the text machine that you call it the AAF. Did anybody call it the AAF?
You just made it up, so I guess you're the first one.
All right. Well, there we go. Everybody on board with the AAF? You guys good?
I'm down.
All right, the AAF, because we're having trouble with what to call this league. Dolphins look like they're done with Ryan Tannehill. Chris, everybody good with that?
You know what? I believe so. He had an outstanding opportunity over the years. He had some unfortunate injuries. I think if we're going to start this new regime, I think it's going to be best for us to start with a new quarterback, somebody who can come in and help the team immediately. And then, you know, they can look into the draft and maybe there's something there, but definitely need to bring in somebody with some experience because there is some experience around them. And I think it needs to be somebody who's a leader, too, who can kind of help turn some things around.
And you talk about the rebuild, Chris. How do you like what they're doing, bringing in a lot of unproven coaches, the OC, DC, head coach, all new to that title? Do you like what they're doing out there in Davie?
I do. I believe we needed a clean slate all across the board. You know, instead of bringing one coach in here, training another coach here and there, I think it'll be better that way. It'll be a new voice in the locker room. It'll be a bunch of new assistant coaches that's going to be around. There's a lot of Super Bowl experience, national championship experience. You know, leadership is the number one thing I'm hearing from Ross and some of the, you know, Chris Beard and the other guys. That myself is actually looking forward to being more a part of the team. You know, last year I didn't go to really no games. I didn't go to no practices. You know, I was getting a little bit disgusted, you know, with the organization and the way everything was going. And this year I feel a little bigger that I want to be able to come back out there and help the team as much as I can.
What happened last season, Chris, where you were just like, hey, this is a hamster wheel. They're doing the same thing over and over. I can't help this.
Yeah, you know, a little bit. Because I've known some of the guys. And in the past, I've done internships with them. Tried to get to know the coaching staff a little bit. But, you know, Engage, you know, I think he was more of a player's coach. And he kind of wore off after a while. And, you know, once you start losing the players, you might as well forget about it. And I think he lost the players at some point during the season. And it just really couldn't get things back up from there. You know, I'm hoping some more of the alumni will kind of come out and help out a little bit more. I know Matt does an excellent job with that. I know, Shannon, you're around sometimes. OJ, Sam, you know, Jason, we're all here for support, man. So hopefully we can help the guys out a little bit more.
Chris Chambers.
I was telling them to dive in people's face, Chris. They stopped telling me to come around. I'm still stuck in the 90s, man.
He's more for autograph signings. You want to keep him away from current players. Chris Chambers, we learned a lot about the Alliance of American Football. You learned a little bit about Aronde Gadsden. So I feel like this was a very symbiotic relationship today, Chris. Thank you for making time for us.
I appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a great weekend.
Call Aronde and have him tell you the story about Malik the monkey, because it's just fascinating. We'll see you, Chris.
Later, guys.
All right, Chris Chambers there, former Dolphin.
Symbiotic, huh?
Symbiotic.
That was
a symbiotic interview, right? If you could learn a little something, you can impart a little wisdom at the same time. Everybody feels good at the end of that.
I think he helped us out a lot more.
Who knew that Aronde was showing up at training camp in crazy vehicles and whatnot?
I know Aronde has a great personality. I didn't know he was wild.
I thought he was more subdued. I know that he's got a great personality if you go out to dinner with him or whatnot. I did not think in a football setting, because he's told me so many times, I was a grinder. I didn't get drafted, so I always had to prove something. So I just figured Aronde was always the kind of guy that was like, yes, sir, no, sir. Who knew that he was showing up in crazy vehicles with his monkey, and he had the clothing line, which is why he did the OG, because the clothing line was OG. It's why he did the OG in the end zone when they were down 48-0 or whatever.
This is symbiotic right now. I didn't even know that.
He was promoting his clothing line. That I knew.
Oh, but that's genius then. You can't criticize him for that.
Is it, though?
It's
is that
genius.
The greatest marketing? Marketing campaign.
Yes.
When you're down like 48-0 to promote your clothes.
If it was just a random touchdown in the game, we wouldn't be talking about it.
It was a random touchdown in a game.
A 28-35 game. It was the second touchdown. We wouldn't talk about it.
So you're saying the marketing had staying power, because to this day, 2019, we're still talking about that commercial.
Bro, you were down by 60. Yeah, baby, man.
Yeah.
I got that end zone, man.
I
got
to get the check. All right, Chris Chambers, that was cool that he called in. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come right back.
Radio.com. Radio. Turn up the radio. Radio. Radio.com.
I had an apartment filled up with the work. You go ask Tanya. So we, it's one of the privileges of being on the radio, but we got fed before the show today.
Oh, did we?
Our friends at Tucker Duke's Lunchbox took care of Hockman and Crowder and Falero. Tree, our engineer, got to dig in. Alana down in the IT department?
I don't know.
Digital
department. IT.
That's Ed.
Internet technologies or something. Isn't that IT?
Internet tech? No, I don't think it's internet.
No?
Nah, it's something else.
Interface?
I jog upstairs. I don't know what anything goes on downstairs.
Well, regardless, Tucker Duke's Lunchbox, who I rave about on the air all the time, I had the nacho tots, and I know it's a side dish, but it's my favorite, and I always look forward to it.
Information technology.
Thank you. And what did you have from Tucker Duke's?
The Haas burger. The two patties with cheese and bacon. Oh,
so good. What'd you have? The Lola? I think you had something called the Lola.
Yeah, it was the spicy burger. Delicious.
And then we had the pretzels too with the cheese sauce. It was so good. In fact, I did Instagram out some video if you want to see us enjoying Tucker Duke's Lunchbox and their generosity. It's Radio Mark Hockman.
And
on
those
Instagram.
Damn pretzel sticks with that beer cheese.
They're so good.
Oh, my goodness.
So good. And I'm going to give you a little note here. On Friday the 15th, so that's a week from today, Tucker Dukes is celebrating their 5-year anniversary with a Brewfest block party, 6 till 9 p.m. There will be local breweries on site, including our friends at Funky Buddha.
Oh.
To go along with the great Tucker Dukes food. You can purchase tickets at the Tucker Dukes Deerfield Beach store or on their Facebook event page or at eventbrite.com. You just search for Tucker Dukes 5-year anniversary Brewfest. And tickets are $35 for unlimited beer, $45 for unlimited beer and a burger. And you could still purchase tickets on the day of the event at the site. Price will be a little higher, though, so I would suggest doing that now. But thank you, Tucker Dukes Lunchbox. They've got locations in Deerfield Beach and Boca Raton, and they fed us well. I could take a nap right about now.
I was going to say, that's when you know you ain't good.
They fed us well.
Start yawning.
Check out the video. It's Radio Mark Hockman on Instagram. You'll see how well we ate. Miami Dolphins, they announced their coaching staff today. 16 members of the coaching staff for 2019. Jim Caldwell will be the assistant head coach and quarterback's coach.
That's good.
Danny Crossman, special teams coordinator.
Big shoes to fill for him now.
Yeah, that's one where, you know, and it's silly, but fans are going to get all riled up if there's a, if there's like a blocked punt in week one.
A short kickoff.
No, you got rid of Rizzi!
Yes.
Patrick Graham is the defensive coordinator. Chad O'Shea is the offensive coordinator. Josh Boyer, defensive pass game coordinator, cornerbacks. Carl Dorrell, wide receivers. Pat Flaherty, offensive line. George Godsey, tight ends. Marion Hobby, defensive line. Rob Leonard, linebackers. Tony Oden, safeties. Jerry Shuplinski, assistant quarterbacks. Eric Studsville, how do I know him?
He was here already. Running back
he
coach?
Was? Yeah.
Yeah, he'd been in the league for a long time.
Oh, maybe that's one of the few guys that they retained.
Yeah, I talked to him the other day.
Josh Grizzard, quality control. Matt Lombardi, quality control. Tequan Underwood, quality control. And then, of course, you have the new head coach, Brian Flores.
See a picture he talked with Shula?
No.
That was a picture, and Brian Flores went and talked to Shula, and I think Tom Garfinkel was there.
That's cool, because you got to kind of have the blessing of the Don, no pun intended. But, right, you have to go do that and have him sign off. And
somebody
then what
sent
else?
Me on Twitter, Chad O'Shea. And Little Giants, Danny O'Shea and Kevin O'Shea was Ed O'Neill and Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
They were the two coaches, and they were saying, is he going to coach like them?
O'Shea brings 16 years of NFL coaching experience to the Dolphins, having spent time with Kansas City, Minnesota, New England. In those 16 seasons, his teams have won 12 division titles, 5 conference championships, 3 Super Bowls. And that might make sense because he spent the last 10 years in New England as their wide receivers coach.
The janitor for the Patriots has a hell of a resume.
He's got rings, man.
Come on, man.
He's got rings. And then what's the other Dolphins news that we saw today, Filero?
John Denny.
John Denny. John Denny. How many seasons is the long snapper?
This will be his 15th season coming up.
15th season.
Got drafted together.
You did?
Yep, 05. I was over there the other day. I did Dolphin Daily. And I saw him. I was like, Denny, man, you holding on, baby, for 05. Like, we'll see what happens. And they re-signed him.
Somebody texts in, John Denny is the UD of the Finns. That's true. Right? He's never played for another team. He's a Dolphins lifer.
Yeah. I don't know his position, though.
Yeah, I don't know if that's UD.
He's on the field. Udonis
isn't
even on the court.
Though.
He's on the field 7 plays a game.
But Udonis on the court for no plays a game.
I think there's a chance I played more snaps than John Denny.
In your career?
I'm not playing around.
Maybe right.
That's a great stat. No, how many seasons you play? 6?
6.
You played 6 season, average of how many a game, you think?
50, 60 snaps a game.
50, 60 snaps a game. He gets maybe 5 snaps in a game.
Yeah.
What? No, because does he do field goals?
Yeah, 2, 3 field goals. Well, recently, not too many field goals. But let's say three field goals. Or three.
Well, you're not going to get an extra point, though, if there's a field goal. So it's one or the other. And then you get the kickoff afterwards. Oh, no, you don't get the kickoff afterwards. You get punts.
4 punts, and extra points.
Field goals, extra points. Less than 10 plays a game, guaranteed.
So it's 160 plays a year, let's say.
That'll be
so
2 games.
I was going to say in 5 seasons, he's going to do what you do.
Why are you trying to do the math?
I was going to say, you're looking up, you look like Adam Gase with your eyes looking all around.
Five seasons.
You don't know how to carry your ones. Have you ever carried a one?
Five seasons, and I've got a soft 17. Is ace 11? So I think I want to hit. what were we talking about?
I'm gonna do the math.
How many seasons? You said six?
6 years. I can actually go and see how many games I missed and how many.
You were saying if you didn't miss a game, it's about 5,700 snaps.
That you would have taken in six seasons?
Yes.
There's nowhere close. Denny's close to that. He played three times longer.
But I still think he's kind of like the Udonis Haslam of the Dolphins.
There's nothing tough about him.
Just talk to Denny. That's my man. 05, baby, till we die. But I don't know if he's the UD of the Dolphins.
That what you guys say? 05 till we die?
No, not really till we die. I'm not dying.
The draft class was that important in 05?
Well, we had Ronnie, Matt Roth, me, Travis Daniels, Anthony Alabi. Crew.
Anthony Alabi.
He's an actor now.
I remember that name.
He's an actor?
Yep. Married the first girl he ever talked to in South Florida.
Get out of here.
Yep. We all went to the same massage parlor. We walked in the first day to all sign up at Green Envy.
Is he still married to her?
I don't know. I would guess. I won't tell the story. Maybe. Yep. We walked in. Everybody was like, ooh, who's the little receptionist? Next thing we know, she's coming to games.
Is her name Caroline?
Bro.
If you can remember.
05?
That's what it says.
Dude's got CTE. You're asking him who the receptionist is at Green Vibe or
whatever. Where did I get this juice from next to me? How am I going to know Anthony Alabi's wife's name?
Well, you did know he was an actor.
Yeah. I seen him on stuff, like a Kia commercial or something.
Real quickly, because we're going to talk with Lee Sterling, the professional gambler. Do you have this audio of the Italian grandparents? This is just apropos of nothing. I just like to laugh every now and then. So this girl, she's 18 years old. She's on campus at her university, and she's walking back to her dorm. And so she thinks, okay, I'll FaceTime my grandparents just to say hello. And they are just apoplectic that she's walking alone on campus, that she doesn't have anyone escorting her. And I heard this audio today, and I was like, this is just delightful. So it's two Italian grandparents. They're FaceTiming with their 18-year-old granddaughter. She's walking across campus, and they can't believe she would walk across campus alone.
You'll walk by yourself. Little dog or something.
Yeah! No, it's not. It's not,
girl. What's the matter
with you? My God, Gabby, what are you, crazy? New York to New Jersey, my
so you got grandma upset.
One more week.
Oh, my God.
Why are you alone?
She's gone. See, that's the library.
What?
That's the library.
What's that?
The library.
Why don't you walk with somebody?
You should be walking alone like that.
She's fine.
She's not you. She's a baby. Goodbye. I'll see you. I'll call you tomorrow. What do you got tomorrow?
What is she doing outside?
She's in the library. She shouldn't do that.
She shouldn't be alone. I don't understand these kids. I mean it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.